I don't know. I've never been put in this fancy situation where someone is gifting me an Armani tuxedo. I don't know how I would react. If anyone out there wants to put me in that situation, I will accept. And let's do a social experiment. Let's find out how I'll react. I don't know. There's only one way to find out, and that's by doing it. So, like, if anyone out there is feeling generous, hit me up. What's poppin', y'all? Welcome to Post Finale. I'm your host, Ankit Madeira. I'm an actor and a musician who hasn't seen a lot of films, so to make my friends happy and potentially provide a new perspective on some popular films, I am on a quest to change that. I'm not on this quest alone, however. This week, I am once again joined by the host of the YouTube channel, William Hayward Painter. William Hayward. William, how are you doing?
I'm great, thanks, Ankit. You okay?
Yeah, I'm doing well. As listeners can tell, you know, we've changed our shirts. We grabbed some water and it's a new day. Not really. It's about 10 minutes later since we stopped recording the last episode. But here we go. But yes, yes, yes. You are now wearing a Wakanda Forever t-shirt for anyone listening on a audio medium. And I'm wearing a shirt with an eagle on it. So, here we go. We love to see it. So, we're here. We are talking about Joe versus the Volcano. Now, William, I asked you last time, when did you first see this film? And, you know, all about that. I have a follow-up question for you, because now you are a second-time guest. And the question that I tend to ask everybody is, if you could play a specific character in this film, ideally someone that we've already met so that it's not spoiling anything for me, but if you could play somebody in this film, who would you want to play? Which character would you want to be?
I do really like Joe, but it's tricky because I really like Dee Dee. There's kind of a There's some kind of an air of weirdness that I like. I don't know where.
That's fair.
Where it's like, Dee Dee, yeah. How about dinner tonight? Yeah, okay. Wow, what a change.
Oh, what a change. Well, yeah. Joe has gone through a change. So let's find out. Why don't we see how dinner's going? That's fair. I love Dee Dee. She is a fantastic little character. I don't know if she comes back, but we'll see. We'll find out what happens. But what's happening right now, where we left off, we're at dinner. We're on the date. And Joe starts asking, you know, who am I? Who are you? What other questions are there, really? And he's like, if you want to understand and embrace the universe, the door is you. Dee Dee is eating this up. Dee Dee is fascinated by this. She's like, tell me more. I want to know. And calls him really intense. And Joe is like, well, I was a long time ago. And I'm like, where is this mysterious Joe coming from? You were not mysterious.
something, because I know you were speculating on what's going to happen in the second part of this movie, which we're going to talk about now, going to talk about today. But I think something you were speculating on was Joe's past career. And yes, he was a fireman. And ironically, that will pay off, you know, because of what the title, or I think you presume that because of what the title suggests, Joe versus the Volcano.
I really hope it pays off, but I don't know. So, because I still haven't watched the whole film, I still don't know what's happening. So, I have another prediction coming up in this episode as well, kind of in the middle here of this episode. We'll hit that prediction of what I think is going on. But yeah, I don't really fully know what's going on yet. But I was like, you were never mysterious. Maybe heroic, maybe strong, but mysterious wasn't on the docket. Where has this come from? So He then says, "In the beginning, I was full of piss and vinegar. Nothing got me down. He wanted to know everything. Then he had some experiences." And he's talking about how today he got scared. And Dee Dee's like, "What were you scared of?" And instead of answering like a normal human being, Joe just asks her if she's ever been scared. Like, of course, I'm pretty sure everybody has had the feeling of feeling scared at some point in their life.
Yeah, I think, I wonder, has Joe ever interacted with a woman, or has he ever been on a date before? Like, or maybe not. I don't know, but he has this newfound confidence, because you sort of like, why would you ask this? You know, you, of course, absolutely. We've all been afraid, but yeah.
Yeah. So Dee Dee says the same, like, of course I have. And Joe asks, okay, what are you scared of? And she's like, well, a lot of things. At the moment, you scare me a bit. And I was like, she is so in love with him. I was like, she wants him. Like, love is in the air. Like, here we go. This is going to go great. We found our love. And Joe is, you know, going to have a lovely 6 months of love before he dies. But, you know, we'll see. It's going to be a fantastic 6 months. I feel bad for Dee Dee, because she's going to lose the love of her life after 6 months. But you know what? Maybe it'll be a fantastic 6 months. And we'll see. So Joe is fascinated, asks, why do I scare you? And Dee Dee isn't sure. She says, I don't know. Something's going on with you. Mourning like a lump. Now, how do you feel? And Joe's like, I feel great. And she's like, see, you never feel great. She's got a point. She has got a point. So Joe realizes this and starts laughing and checking his pulse everywhere around his neck, except for actually checking where you can check your pulse on your neck.
Oh.
He literally puts his hands like here, here, like, you know, here. Oh, I guess he does finally like get there at the end. But like he does like everything else. He just starts touching his neck. Listeners on the audio forum, I just showed where I was touching my neck, and I just realized none of you can see that. Sorry, but like, just assume if you know where you can find your pulse on your neck, that's not where he was checking.
This is educational for me and Kit, but yeah, I think, and it's worth pointing out, because something I've done is I've been podcasting somewhat myself, but exclusively on video lately. If you've seen you yourself, Anke, if you've seen some of my content, you know what I'm talking about. But feel free to check out my page, as we've, you know, talked about last time. But it's tricky, you know, like we'll refer to something that we can see right now, but for the sake of audio-only listeners, just bear in mind that we're... you know, we're gesturing this way, that way, and just believe us when we say that's what we're doing.
Yeah, no, it is very fun, and that's just, you know, it is what it is. We appreciate you for listening, however you may be listening.
So
thank you so much for tuning in. Now, where were we? Dee Dee is scared, and Joe is touching his neck like a weirdo. So,
yes.
And he's like, well, what's funny is that I feel great. And Dee Dee asks where he is, and he's like, right here. And she's like, oh, I wish you were. And she's like, I wish you were here. And I'm like, no, you don't. What are you talking about? Like, he is here. Like, just accept it. You're in love with him. Just accept that you're in love with him. Joe tells her about the first time he saw her. He felt like he'd seen her before. Dee Dee shakes her head no. And Joe shakes his head yes. It's legitimately the entire interaction. We then hear some music, and Joe says, wait a minute. And he gets up and leaves the table. We can't see what he does, but he returns about 5 seconds later. And he says that he has bribed the guys to sing a song to drive them insane and make their hearts burst. Beautiful. Sounds lovely. I wonder what the song is. We then see a mariachi band come by, and they start to play some beautiful music. Dee Dee starts enjoying the music. Maybe is a little embarrassed, but she likes the attention. Joe reaches out his hand, and the only words that I catch in the entire song are mi amor, which means my love. If I'm remembering that correctly, I don't speak Italian. Great. So I don't need to offend the Italians. They're lovely people. So they are singing something about love, and Joe reaches out an open hand. Dee Dee places a closed fist into his open hand, and then they leave the restaurant. And out on the curb, there's just a man, just chilling, hanging out, leaning on a light post, dressed as a sailor. That's it. They don't interact with him. They don't speak to him. He doesn't move. He doesn't do anything. He's just existing. I want the story of this man. Why is he there?
Is he? And what does he do?
Why is he dressed as a sailor? Well, not necessarily. Not necessarily. I mean, it's the same way. Like, look, man, if you're walking down the streets of town and you see someone dressed in a penguin costume, you're not going to be like, well, he's obviously a penguin. He might be embodying a penguin, but there is a story behind that penguin.
Hmm. Ankit, here's a funny one. Have you ever seen Ghostbusters, the original film?
No.
Well, that actually, no, of course not. No, that was a suggestion for a podcast, actually, at one point. We might want, it's okay, it's great. Editors, we might want to cut this part out just because it means nothing other than it's a funny little moment with Bill Murray in Ghostbusters. My favorite movie, by the way. You know, everyone go see Ghostbusters Frozen Empire this weekend. It's going to be great. Kumail Nanjiani is in it. He's really funny. But anyway, he's great. No, I like him a lot. But no, Bill Murray, at the end, they're attacked by the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man, who's basically Godzilla, who's attacking New York, even though he's sort of bobbing along just like this. You know.
Oh, beautiful.
Like, little bit, yeah. And, you know, he has like his beret and his sailor suit, kind of. And Peter, Billy's character, is just like, you know, we've been going about this all wrong. Mr. Staypuft is okay. He's a sailor. He's in New York. We get this guy laid. We won't have any trouble.
None. Now, you brought up Kumail Nanjiani, and it reminded me of something that I saw he posted on his Instagram story today. Ladies and gentlemen, when we're recording this, it is March 20th. This episode isn't coming out for a bit. But as we're recording this, I saw this literally earlier today, and you brought up Kumail Nanjiani, so I had to bring this up. And it just says, it's 1984. I buy tickets to see Ghostbusters and Dune. It's 2021. I buy tickets to see Ghostbusters and Dune. It's 2024. I buy tickets to see Ghostbusters and Dune. Go see Ghostbusters Frozen Empire this weekend.
Yes. Or go see it any weekend. Yeah. Go see it any weekend. Yeah.
I was just laughing at that. I was like, oh, this is beautiful.
Yes, yeah. I hope Kumail is in I hope he's in the movie a lot because, you know, he's an up and comer and he's really funny. And Ghostbusters is a comedy and they're going more for like bigger comedians who, for example, have done Marvel movies now, like Paul Rudd, who was in the last one, and this, and Kumail. Also Chris Hemsworth, who was in the 2016 reboot, and I like Chris Hemsworth a lot, but yeah, that movie was, you know, a horrible flop. Wasn't good.
Oh, that is fantastic. So why don't we talk about a movie that I don't think was a horrible flop? I have no idea. I haven't looked up the box office numbers for it. I always do that at the end. So where we're at, we've just passed our lovely sailor friend who we need a full backstory on but don't know. And we're now at a pier overlooking the city. That's it. Nothing spicy happens. We then head back and we're at a house. We're now at some houses. And they go inside, and Dee Dee starts to kiss Joe. And I was like, aw, see, I knew it. She loves him. She wants to be with him. Asks what happened to him that made him so alive. And she can see it. And Joe tells her what the doctor told him, that he has 5 to 6 months to live. And then he starts kissing her back. Dee Dee's like kissing him and then clocks it and stops kissing him. And then she pulls away from Joe and is just very confused. And then Joe's like, well, this is what it is. And she's like, I have to go. And Joe may have quit, but she has the job in the morning. And Joe really wants her to stay. And I just go, I'm sure you do. And Dee Dee starts to leave and stops and tells Joe that she can't handle it. And she's sorry and then leaves. And she awkwardly comes back in, gets her bag, and leaves again. I do enjoy this fun little trope of people leaving the room and then having to re-enter for some reason and then leaving again. It's a very fun little trope. And I'm seeing how many times it comes up. Currently, we're up to 2. Because Joe did this in the last episode when he quit his job. He left and then came back in, asked Dee Dee out for dinner. And now Dee Dee has just done it to leave and then come back in for her bag. So Joe is all alone in his apartment. He's defeated, and he just tosses his coat on the floor as well as his tie. And that's the end of our little scene. Seems like the date didn't end well. They were both upset, I'm sure. But, you know, sometimes the date doesn't end well. That's just how it goes.
Mm. Or it's like, can this just happen? Can this just keep going on forever? Oh, it can't. Okay, perhaps I should be less demanding.
That is also a case. So the next morning, there's a nice breeze through the open window that he's sitting at playing the ukulele. And there is a buzz at the door and a knock as well. And Joe opens the blinds and he reveals an old man who has a very big smile on his face. He's wearing a gray top hat, has a cane with a duck on the end of it, and it is a gold duck on the end of it. So he's looking for Joe and asks to come in, and he just wants to talk. Duckman over here notices that Joe isn't dressed and says, well, it doesn't bother me if it doesn't bother you. And Duckman then calls it a nice place. It's dingy. He then hits the wall with his duck cane, and he makes a new hole in the wall, and then he continues to call it dismal, shabby,
yes.
Dinky.
Yes, I remember.
Beautiful, perfect, mwah, no notes. And yeah. He sees it as a tremendous sign of sophistication that he hasn't demanded the name or asked what he is doing here. And I was just like, yeah, I would like to know this information too. Who are you so I don't have to keep calling you Duckman? So we learn that his name is Samuel Harvey Grenamore. And he points at Joe, trying to see the hero inside of him. Joe is very confused, and Sam reveals that Joe dragged 2 kids down 6 flights of stairs in a burning building, and it was brave. And I was like, well, maybe he should have carried the kids and not dragged them, because like dragging kids down the stairs sounds painful for the children. So like, you know, maybe pick them up and carry them down the stairs next time instead of, you know, dragging them while they're like, you know, head smacks on the steps. That doesn't sound very healthy. But what made it interesting was then he went back up for the 3rd kid, and that's what made him a hero. And Sam knows as much as he could have learned. I'm just going to call this guy Sam, because why not? And, you know, nobody ever refers his name again. I'm calling him Sam for the sake of calling him Sam. I feel like he'd be okay with that. So he explains that he has learned as much as he could about Joe in the last 24 hours. Joe has quit his job. It was a dumb job. Joe does not have a family. Families are a pain in the neck. Sam asks Joe what he knows about superconductors. Joe knows nothing. Neither does Sam. Confused on why he asked this, but then he reveals that he owns a huge company that dominates the world market in superconductors. it's good to know that the person that owns the major company in the world for superconductors knows nothing about superconductors.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. I think, sorry, Ankit, we need to, this is a really important scene in the movie, of course, but you know the actress who plays Dee Dee, who we've seen, it's Meg Ryan, who I think has second billing on the poster, and the tone of this movie, because I'm very familiar with Tom Hanks. I'm much more familiar with Tom Hanks as an actor, as I'm sure a lot of people are, but I'm not that familiar with Meg Ryan, so I don't know if she has been in movies that are like this as such, because there's a movie, The Terminal. It's a Spielberg film where Tom Hanks is in that, and he plays a guy who's trapped in an airport.
Yeah,
because if you've seen it, you'll know. But because his country, while he was in the air going to the United States, his country went to war, and he wasn't recognized as a citizen of anywhere by the U.S. government. So he couldn't go into the United States, but he also couldn't go home to the fictional country of Cracovia. And so he was stuck. He was stuck in an airport for who knows how long. But basically, you know, that's obviously like a darker movie, kind of heavier tone. And this movie also has a heavier tone.
Film.
It's so great.
Yeah.
And this movie, this Joe versus the Volcano, also has something of a heavy tone, even though it's still really funny and very absurd, just the way it's constructed and the way, you know, the way people talk and stuff like that. But I don't know if Meg Ryan has been in much stuff that's like this, but she's really good in this.
No clue. She's fantastic in this. I am not very well versed in her filmography. I've heard her name. I know that she has done a lot of stuff. I am the last person to ask about what she has done.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think with this movie, it did pretty... I don't know if it did all that well when it came out, but it's got a following over time, and it's on physical media. It's on Blu-ray now with zero extras. Sorry. I love my movie extras. I love my movie extras, though. Why aren't there movie extras for Joe versus the Volcano?
Because it's a masterpiece. You didn't need it.
Maybe. I guess it should speak for itself, as James Cameron would tell us.
That's all. That's all you need.
That's all we need.
Yeah, that's all we need. But, yeah, listeners, if you haven't watched The Terminal, go check it out. Fantastic movie based on a true story. Beautiful film. Back to this one, where were we? So back to this film. And we then are informed by Sam that he knows what Dr. Ellison told Joe in his office and thought that they could help each other. And Sam asks if he has any whiskey, and Joe doesn't. And Sam says that he wants to hire Joe to jump into a volcano. And then he starts to light a pipe, which kind of looks like a mermaid that's on the front of a pirate ship, almost. Like, that's kind of like the vibe that I got from the pipe. And Joe just says, you know what? I do have some whiskey. So he goes, gets the whiskey. After downing the whiskey, Sam reveals that there is an island in the South Pacific called Waponi Wu. And I was like, is this a real place? There's no way this is a real place. Now, the name means little island with big volcano. Beautiful. Very straightforward. Very well done. The Waponis are cheerful people who live simply by fishing and picking fruit. And Joe's wall at this moment, I noticed, has a massive hole in it, and it's shaped like a lightning bolt. Very interesting.
Something else, Ankit, because I was talking about... I sowed the seeds last time for this, but with Joe's apartment, you see the fireplace, or you see, I don't know if you saw it, but there's like half the fireplace, because the room, I think, is supposed to have been a bigger room originally, the way it was built, and then it's been cut further down in two, probably, like, I think it's to have like more apartments within this bigger apartment block. And yeah, so Joe's landlord is corrupt. So it's like, what we should do is just cut every room down, you know, in size and charge just as much, if not more, you know, just try and make more, you know, out of
sounds
out
like
of
landlords
Joe.
In London. They don't want to fix anything, but then they expect you to pay an exorbitant amount of rent.
Yes.
Yeah.
It speaks as well to...
Good to know that things haven't changed in, like, you know, 40 years since this film came out.
Well, this, I think, is... Even though this is set in hyper-reality, I'm going to call it... I think we are in New York City, but I could...
We're in Staten Island.
Staten Island, yes,
no, we're
of course.
We're on
sorry.
Staten Island. Yeah.
That's right. Well,
we are on Staten Island, so... So what we learned is that the Waponi's one fear is this massive volcano, and they call it the Big Woo, which is just a fantastic name for the volcano. And they believe that an angry fire god lives in the volcano, and he will sink the island unless he is appeased once every 100 years. And I was like, human sacrifice? ? We're about to find out. It's been 99 years, 11 months, and 11 days. So there are 21 days left before someone has to be sacrificed. And Joe asks the ever-important question, how is the fire god appeased? And then Sam reveals that of his own free will, a man has to jump into the volcano. None of the Waponis are anxious to volunteer. And Sam says, what you do is called trading. There is a mineral on the island called Bubero. And nowhere else on the planet can he even find an ounce of it. And without Bubero, he can't make superconductors. So this is where I have my guess of what's going on. I was like, all right, let me take a guess. He made a deal with the Waponis that they gave him Bubero, and he'll find someone to jump into the volcano. Now he's running out of time. So he will offer Joe an amazing trip to live out the next 20 days on the condition that Joe jumps into the volcano on this last day. Joe, at the end, will decide not to jump into the volcano. The town will not actually be destroyed. And, it's also a misdiagnosis, and he's not actually dying. So, because he isn't dying, he will have broken out of his shell, though, after this 20 days, the shell that he has become, and into his old heroic self. So even if the volcano does blow, he's going to save the town, and then he will get Dee Dee by the end of the film. Like, they will be together. So what I think is happening? We'll find out. But Sam says the Waponis don't want to give him the material rights, but will do if they give him a hero. So I was partially right there. Believes that due to the exploits in the fire department, Joe has the courage to jump. All he knows is that you are making the calls and, you know, you're in the high country when you're making those calls. He goes behind Joe, wraps his arms around him in a weird, like, it was awkward. Like, Joe's sitting in the chair and he comes up behind him and wraps his arms around him. And I was like, okay, this is a choice. And he goes, from the doctor, you know you're on your way out. You don't have any money. Sam asks if he wants to spend it out and wait it out here in this grim apartment. He then reveals 4 credit cards. And they're Joe's if he takes the job 20 days before needing to jump. So today, go shopping. Go on an adventure. Tomorrow, get on a plane. First class, of course, to LA. And you will be staying in the best hotels. Next day, board a yacht, because he has competitors who watch the airports, so they need to take a yacht. He will then sail through the South Pacific for 15 days. When he meets the Waponis, they will come to meet him, and it'll be a red carpet situation. He will be a national hero. Wine, women, music, parades, and then boom, he jumps into the volcano. You live like a king, you die like a man. Joe picks
up
one of these. Mm-hmm. That's his line. It's a fantastic line. You know, the man is a salesman. He is selling it. So Joe picks up a card, says he'll do it. Sam is thrilled, gives him his card, a plane ticket for tomorrow. It is on American Airlines at noon at Kennedy. And he says, great, grab that flight tomorrow. And that's where we're going to take a quick intermission, and then we will come right back before Joe takes this card and has a trip. So we're going to take a quick break, talk about some stuff that's coming up, and then we'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for listening to this episode of Post Finale. I hope you are all enjoying this episode, and if you want to gain access to more bonus content, like access to my notes and access to some of the tier lists that I make and help suggest films and things like that, all of that can be done over at our Patreon, and that can be found at patreon.com/coopforge. So that's patreon.com/co_opforge. Signing up for any of the tiers gets you different types of bonus content depending on the tier that you sign up for, and a shout out here on the show for every patron that signs up. It really means the world to us, and it helps us grow this show and helps us be able to put the money back into this show to make it a better experience for you, the listeners. That is our entire goal here at Co-op Forge. So thank you all so much if you are considering doing this. Now, if you want to help the show in a non-monetary way, that is fantastic as well. You can do so by just talking about us and sharing it with a friend. Just reach out to a friend and be like, hey, you love movies, or hey, you need an excuse to watch more movies. Check out this show called Post Finale. The host is silly. He's an actor. He's confused most of the time, gets a lot of guesses wrong. But overall, it's a lovely time and some interesting discussions about some iconic films. I think you'll really enjoy it. It really does help. And be sure to talk about us on social media and follow us on social media. That really helps out a lot as well. If you're looking for the show, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Post Finale Pod. And then you can also find us at Co-op Forge on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And that's at Co-op Forge at co_opforge. And we post content not just from Post Finale, but from the other shows here on Co-op Forge as well. So that includes Flip the Scripts, and that includes Seattle Across the Pond. So be sure to follow both of those channels. Again, it's at Post Finale Pod and at Co-op Forge, co_opforge. But just thank you so much for listening to this episode. Wherever you are, if you're enjoying the episode, if you're listening on YouTube, please like, please hit subscribe. It really does help us out. If you're listening on a podcast app, that's great as well. It doesn't matter to us where you're listening. We're just so thankful that you're listening. But if you're listening on a podcast app, please leave a rating. It really does help us out. Please leave a review and hit that follow button. You can also turn on notifications both on YouTube and on the podcast apps just to be notified when new episodes come out. It really does mean a lot that you are all listening to these episodes, and thank you all so much. So let's get back to the episode without further ado. So we're back, and Joe now has some credit cards. He's got some rich money. So let's have some fun. He calls, he rents a limo and a driver for the day. He heads into the city, and he's still playing his little ukulele. I appreciate that he still has his ukulele. And he's playing in the back seat. He's doing what he still loves. Driver asks Joe where he wants to go. Shopping. Where? I don't know. Joe asks the driver where he would want to go. And the driver's like, all right, what for? Clothes. What kind? What's your taste? Joe's not sure. The driver then stops the car and tells Joe that he was hired to drive, not to tell Joe who he is. And Joe's like, I didn't ask who I was. And then the driver explains. He's like, I love clothes and believe that clothes make the man. He asks to go shopping for clothes, but not sure what kind. Leave it hanging in the air, like the driver is the one that's supposed to fill in all the blanks, which to him, it feels like it's answering who are you and who you are. He doesn't know. He's only just met him. He doesn't want to know. He has taken his whole life to know who he is, and now he is tired. So The driver introduces himself as Marshall and tells Joe to wait a minute and we'll be back. He gets out of the car. He doesn't go anywhere. He just gets into the back seat and asks Joe about the situation that Joe finds himself in. And Joe says he's going on a long trip, wanted to buy clothes, money, no object. Has plenty of it. So Marshall asks, okay, where are you going? Joe says, tonight, the city, tomorrow, LA, then a tiny island, no tourists, and we'll be there a couple of weeks. Marshall asks what clothes he has now. Joe says it's the clothes that I'm wearing, and Marshall's just like, so no clothes. I appreciate that Marshall was like, great, like this, no. So Marshall gets back into the driver's seat and heads out, and we go to Armani. And Marshall suggests a tuxedo. And Joe says, you know what? I'll get one if you get one. And Marshall's like, okay, I'm a working class man. I cannot be buying an Armani tuxedo. And Joe's like, well, you know, you're being paid to drive the car, but you're not being paid for all of this advice. How about I buy you a tux and we call it even? Where can I find someone as kind as Joe?
Yeah.
Like, oh, such a saint. Just like, you know what? You're helping me out. Let me do something nice for you. Something extra that you aren't being paid to do. Very nice of Joe right there. Marshall is very surprised by this, as I'm sure most people would be. But he does accept. We then see both of them in the suits, in the tuxedos. I'm so sorry. They are both wearing their beautiful Armani tuxedos. And Joe is just like, I feel like I'm getting married. And Marshall standing right next to him, I feel like I'm giving you away.
Yes.
Beautiful, perfect, no notes. So they then get to the next store and it's an Alfred Dunhill. I haven't heard of that brand. Have you?
Sorry, of the hotel?
No, or Alfred Dunhill.
What brand was it? Sorry, what of?
I don't know. Outside the store, it said Alfred Dunhill.
I can't say that I have, no.
Okay. I'm going to do a quick Google search. We're going to see.
Oh, cool.
Alfred Dunhill.
Mm. I'll say
luxury goods company.
Okay.
It's a luxury goods company. This is all I know.
In what sense, though? Like, because sometimes maybe they took the name and I don't know.
It says luxury menswear and more.
Oh yeah. So this is what you call product placement.
Yes. They're doing well.
The same...
Armani was in there. Dunhill's in there. We'll get another one in there.
Yeah. That we do actually, and spoilers, but we do, we'll come to it later. But, I wonder if, with the scene, where he's talking with Marshall, where he's talking with his, you know, his chauffeur, basically, it's sort of a joke on, like, on the mentor character. The joke being that usually, like, the mentor is there to help you. Except Marshall doesn't do that. He's sort of like, I don't know who you are. It's taken me my whole life to figure out who I am, and I am tired. You understand me?
Yeah. Definitely.
And this is the thing. It's like what I was saying last time about how there's not much subtext, if any, to this film because the characters just say it, and sometimes it's all done in humor, and that's what I really like about the film. But I think it's sort of going more towards just being funny and then just being kind of awkward because sometimes like interactions in this film don't go through the way you would ever interact with someone, you know, like the date scene, but also the zombie lights and tuxedo wearing. I don't know.
I don't know. I've never been put in this fancy situation where someone is gifting me an Armani tuxedo. I don't know how I would react. If anyone out there wants to put me in that situation, I will accept. And let's do a social experiment. Let's find out how I'll react. I don't know. There's only one way to find out, and that's by doing it. So, like, if anyone out there is feeling generous, hit me up. So, we get to Alfred Dunhill, and there are two adorable dogs outside. They're the same breed. One is with a man who is wearing a gray suit, and one is with a lady who is wearing a blue dress. Joe notices the dogs and walks in. Doesn't do anything. He then buys 9 pairs of underwear. Marshall is out by the car, and someone dressed like the Statue of Liberty, in full green paint, walks up to him and smiles. And then we just leave. Like, we don't get any more context of that. And I love that that's just included, but there's zero context of why any of that exists. So, We're now at the Horn of Africa, and we're trying on hats. Marshall then calls someone from the limo phone and asks for Cassie Cimarelli, and tells Cassie that he has someone who needs her today. And Cassie is a hairdresser. She has made Joe look fancy. And Marshall is like a proud dad. He's like, you're coming into focus, kid. Like, he's so proud of Joe. He's like, I'm helping him find who he is. Joe checks himself out in the door of a Hammershire Schmemmer. I am probably butchering that name. I am so sorry. But I think it is pronounced Hammershire Schemmer. No clue. But they're playing golf indoors, and he decides to buy some golf clubs. He also buys a Swiss Army knife, a World Band travel radio, a shaving kit, 2 Coleman lanterns, a violin case bar, and a red and white umbrella.
We veered from sheer practicality to impracticality very quickly.
Hey, why not?
Oh yeah.
Someone who is uberly rich hands you 4 credit cards and says you don't have a limit, and you're also gonna die in 20 days because you're gonna jump into a volcano, you might as well splurge.
That's the thing.
Yeah. So they're at another store, and someone is asking Joe if he has ever thought about luggage. No. And this guy, one of my favorite characters in this film so far, he loves luggage, and you get that. I don't know who this actor is, but this is such a beautiful scene. He's like, it is the central preoccupation of my life. And then he's like, you travel the world away from home, away from family. All to depend on is yourself and luggage. And he's like, all right, are you traveling light or heavy? Joe is traveling heavy. And the luggage man is like, are you flying or going by a ship? Joe says both. And he's like, a real journey. He is so thrilled at the prospect of someone having a real journey. He's like, this is beautiful. And as a luggage problem, he believes he has just the thing. He opens some double doors that have the sky painted on the windows. We hear angelic music playing as he pulls out a beautiful piece of luggage. It is a premier steamer trunk, handmade, watertight, tight as a drum. And he says that if he had a need and the wherewithal, this would be the trunk of choice. And Joe is like, great, I'll take 4. Because why not? Why not? Because he's traveling heavy. Let's do it.
It's also and funny. Sorry, Anke. Yeah, sorry.
I was gonna say he can also pay people to carry those trunks.
Yeah, I know. It's funny the guy's reaction, you know, his with such joy that he's going on a journey that adds to the humor of Joe, metaphorically speaking, carrying all his baggage with him, you know, his life, you know, just not that, you know, I was going to say not that he has a burden, but he does. He's terminally ill and he's been put on this quest. So it's like, Joe, you're fine. We are here to help you. You can afford it. Your baggage is no problem.
Right. Not a problem. And this guy's reaction is, after Joe is like, I'll take four, he's like, may you live to be 1,000 years old, sir. And I was like, lol.
Yes, I love that
line. He ain't living to 1,000. I do still think he was misdiagnosed and he's not actually having a brain cloud and he's not actually going to die at the end of the film. But we'll see, I guess. I have no idea. But we're back in the limo. Marshall asks, are we heading back to Staten Island? And Joe says, no, let's go to the plaza. And Marshall's just like, the plaza's nice. Joe's like, well, where would you go? Marshall, the pier. And Joe just goes, then we're off to the pier. And it's perfect. I love it. They get to the pier. Joe asks Marshall if he would like to join him for dinner tonight. Marshall sadly cannot. He has the wife and the kids at the end of the day. And Marshall stops and Joe and asks, like, do you have anybody? Like, do you really have nobody in a truly just heartfelt moment? And Joe says, no, but at certain times in life, you don't have anyone. Certain doors you have to go through alone. And Marshall tells Joe that he is going to be all right. And then he heads out. And that is where we are going to end this week's episode of Post Finale. Beautiful, beautiful thing right there at the end to finish on. Of like, hey, sometimes there are hurdles that you have to face on your own. Like, you know, as much as family, friends, people that you care about are there for you, sometimes you have to go through a hurdle on your own and you have to figure it out yourself. There's no one else that can do it for you.
It's true though. It's again, like, Joe, here's your mission. Here's what we got to do.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. But great film. I'm really on board. I want to find out what's happening. I am still holding strong to the prediction that I made earlier in this episode. Just as a refresher, ladies and gentlemen, I'm pretty sure that what's going to happen is he's going to enjoy this trip. It's going to be fantastic. But once he gets to the island, he is going to decide not to jump. But then he's also going to realize it's a misdiagnosis. But the town also will not be destroyed. The island will not be destroyed by the volcano. And everything's going to be fine. So, yeah, at the end, I think that's what's going to happen. We will find out. But that's everything there. William, is there anything else that you want to let people know about? Where can they find you? Where can they find you doing your stuff and things like that?
I'm trying to think whether there's anything to comment on at this point, because I'm enthusiastic to continue, because, you know, I've seen the rest of the movie, so I know.
I know
what's happening, but that's, you know, we need to keep suspense going. So no, I think I'm just really looking forward to what happens, what we can talk about next time, seeing your thoughts on it, and there's some interesting stuff that we can explore with the rest of the movie. But no, I think we're okay. But no, folks, just to, similar to what I was saying in the last episode, so to find what I do, William Hayward Painter is my YouTube channel name, and that's also on Instagram. You can find me there, at Hayward Painter on X, formerly known as Twitter. And Facebook as well is William Hayward Painter, although the main one is my YouTube page. So folks, feel free to check that one out. I'm always looking for more subscribers to the page, and help Ankit out as well with his stuff. It's going to be really cool.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, listeners, if you want to check out any of William's content, I will link his YouTube page down in the episode description, wherever you're listening, whether it's on YouTube, another podcasting app, you can just find it down in the description, or just head over to YouTube and search William Hayward Painter. But William, thank you so much for joining me once again as we discuss this very interesting and descriptive film. Not a lot about bodily functions in this part of the film, but maybe it'll come back. I don't know. It was a big theme during episode one. Maybe it'll come back during episode three. But ladies and gentlemen, be sure to join us next week here on Post Finale as I continue figuring out what in the world is happening with Joe and, you know, what's going to happen. I don't really know. I haven't seen what's coming up next, but we will have a wonderful guest on to talk about the rest of this film. And until next week, I'll catch y'all later. Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for listening to this episode of Post Finale. Post Finale is created, hosted, and produced by me, Ankit Madeira. Our editor is Pranav Nair. The music is by Ankit Madeira and Megan Hutcherson, and the art is by Jared Rother. If you are all enjoying this episode and want to gain access to more bonus content, you can do so by heading over to patreon.com/coopforge and signing up for any of the tiers. You get loads of different bonus content, such as notes and commentary that we have as we're watching the films, as well as some bonus audios, some bonus videos, and ad-free episodes, early access if we get them done early, and different things like that. All of that can be found at patreon.com/coopforge, and that's patreon.com/co_opforge. If you want to help out the show in a non-monetary way, that's great as well. Tell a friend about the show. Just reach out and be like, hey, you love films, or hey, you need an excuse to watch some more films. Check out the show called Post Finale. The host is an actor, and he's funny and silly, confused most of the time, but they have interesting discussions about some popular films that I think you would really enjoy. It really does help us out a lot. Be sure to talk about us on social media at Post Finale Pod on Instagram and Facebook. And you can also follow us at CoopForge, that's CO_OPFORGE, on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And there we post content, not just from Post Finale, but also from the other shows hosted here on CoopForge, which are Flip the Scripts and Seattle Across the Pond. So a lot of fun things can be found over there on our social media. It really, really does help us out a lot. Thank you to everyone who has already done this. Thank you to everyone who will do this in the future. It really does mean a lot to us, and it helps us create better content for you, the listeners, as we grow. It really does help, and thank you so much for listening to this episode of Post Finale, and I can't wait until next week,